Welcome to the Room Exchange podcast, helping you rent better. In this podcast, we're having conversations with industry leaders in the rental market, along with everyday renters sharing fascinating stories, insights, and tips to help you rent better. Hello, and welcome to the Room Exchange podcast, where we help you rent better. I'm Ludwina Dordovic, and today we're talking about the variety of ways that people are renting and house sharing. Now, this space used to be the domain of 20-something-year-olds leaving home for the first time or going off to university, but that's no longer the case. We're seeing a huge shift in the demographic of renters, along with a myriad of reasons why they're renting. Some rent due to the unaffordability of buying a house. Others, like myself, choose to rent for lifestyle reasons. We're commonly known as rentvestors. Now, today I'm talking to Peter Meek, a keen property investor and house sharer. His property investing includes two co-living houses in the UK and one in Fairfield, Victoria. He had a lodger in his first home in the UK, and he, like many of us, has technically been house sharing all his life. He house shared as a university student, and in more recent years, he and his partner have house shared with family. Peter, welcome.
Hey, Ludwina. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, that's quite a rental journey that you have there. But before we get into all the stories, give us a brief rundown of what you're doing today.
Oh, look, I'm very fortunate. I'm sort of semi-retired. I spent most of my career in the food industry. So I'm just sort of winding that down there and just doing a little bit of consulting. But as you mentioned, I also do a bit of, we've got some properties that we manage through agents in the UK and Australia. And yeah, we have quite a lot of flexibility in our life, which is great, which sort of ticks into why we've house shared quite a bit, you know, for the convenience of it.
Yeah. Look, when we had our first initial conversation, I ended up in a big belly laugh with something that you said, and I think it's a really great starting point. And you said, technically, we've been house sharing from the moment that we were born. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm the youngest of three boys, so literally I was born into a family of five. We were living in a three-bedroom house, so yeah, from day one I've had to share bedrooms and facilities and whatever. And literally all through my life, and I'm 56 now, I've never lived on my own, Ludwina. So I've been house sharing, be it with my family, be it with students when I was at university, be it sort of professional people when I got my first job, and yeah, most recently with family. And literally last week we moved into a house, my wife, me and the dog, which we're renting. So I've never lived on my own, so my whole life has been house sharing. So I find it quite odd to not think about living with someone.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And it's had me thinking a lot since you have, because one of the things that we hear occasionally from people who are homeowners who are looking to list a house on the Room Exchange, it's like, oh yeah, but I've never house shared before. And I say, oh, do you live alone? And they go, oh no, I live with my partner or my husband and my kids. And I said, well, sorry, but isn't it technically house sharing? And then I use that line a lot now with new inquiries. And then I take them back to that moment of, did you have siblings? Well, you obviously had parents. And it's just sort of like, it's weird that people today tend to have this very odd point of view about what it means to actually house share. What do you say to that?
Yeah, look, I think that's absolutely right. I think it's just about changing the context, right? If you start from the basis that sharing is the norm and living on your own is perhaps a little bit unusual, and that's not to say that everyone needs some alone time and have their own space. And, you know, even when you're in the family or, you know, you're married or whatever, you still need that. But I just think that life is, we're social animals. And so I think it's appropriate that we share our lives with others, and that means sharing spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I don't know about you, but I know that living with other people, particularly when new people sort of interject into our lives, whether we're having someone who's sharing a house currently or we're staying even with family members, there's a certain, what's the word for it? It's kind of like you consciously become more aware of yourself. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you're also more consciously aware of the space around you, how you might even be behaving in relationship to your partner. I find it quite interesting. And then as soon as you get back home and you get back into your huddle or your, you know, just the way that you are naturally without anybody around other than the people that you live with, it's like you fall back into this pattern. And I'm actually right now, I don't have anyone sharing my house and I'm really missing that.
I'm in the same boat, Lawina. My wife's away for a week. And so I can guarantee you that the house is a bit more untidy, but she comes back tomorrow. So there'll be a massive tidy up session to make sure that when she comes back, that's how the house she wants it. And that's about being thoughtful and considerate for the other people, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we can get too comfortable just being in our own space. As you said before, it's important to have your own space from time to time. And I call myself an innie outie. You know, if I'm spending the evening with people over for dinner the next day, you're not going to see a whole lot of me. But there's just something that, how can we learn more about ourselves and grow more as an individual if we can't compare ourselves with or to other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sharing, I'm very lucky. My wife's very, very observant and very perceptive. So she sees things that I don't see all the time and just helps me be a better person, you know. And in terms of living with someone, she's really good at, if there's an issue, she voices it. And so, and I think with sharing houses, communication is absolutely key. What, you know, and you share what's not working, of course, but also share what works, you know, what you like about living with someone, what are the really great things, and celebrate that. Because I've always found that when I was sharing, whether it was at university or if you've said to people, oh, it's really good when you do this, then people want to try and help and do the right thing and they'll do more of it. And if you communicate, look, this isn't working because of X, Y, Z, what are the options with this? So communication is everything with sharing, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I say that a lot too, and I think the best way to do that is by breaking bread together. Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you agree with that. We get some people who go, oh, do we have to have meals together? And I go, why wouldn't you? You know, like I think it's quite an intimate part of the day when you're sharing a house with people, is to sit across the dinner table, have a meal together, even share the cooking, or someone else takes turns to cook and someone else cleans up. And it's a couple of hours in the evening really from where to go when you think about it. But then you have a conversation about things that are concerning you just in your everyday life, or if there are some challenges or some things that you want to actually say, you know, I really appreciate this about you. It's just a nice time to stop and do that. One of the other things that I hear from people is they say, and I'd like your thoughts on this as well, it's like, well, what if it doesn't work out? And then I say to them, well, are you in relationship with anyone? And most of the time they say yes. And I said, well, what happens if you don't talk to each other? And then straight up they say, well, it doesn't work out. And it's the same principles. It's a relationship. It's a form of a relationship. And if you are communicating with each other and sharing the highs, the lows, and in-betweens, then nothing's actually going to get to that point where it becomes a massive issue. What do you think about that?
Oh, look, I think that's absolutely right. I remember for the most part, almost all of my house sharing experiences have been good. We did have one. I lived in a house when I first moved to York in the UK, and the house owner lived there, but he was so introverted that the only way he would communicate, Ludwina, was after everyone had gone to bed, he would go around the house and leave post-it notes about
be passive aggressive.
And I remember as I was leaving, because I think I lasted about 3 months, as I was leaving, I said to him, I said, his name was Grant. I said, Grant, how does this work for you? How often do the people stay? He said, oh, you're one of the longest at 3 months. And I said, well, perhaps there's you need to think about your communication approach. And the next house that I went into, I was very lucky because it was someone who was working at the same place that I was. And we just got on famously. And we literally, as you said, we would cook for each other, and at least 2 or 3 nights a week, we'd be socializing. It was about this communication, that everything was clear and we knew what was expected of each other. So I think communication is important, but also wanting to share your life and what you're up to. Because if you don't want to do that, then it is going to be hard. And there are, Grant was one of those people that he wanted the benefits of, the income, but he didn't actually want to share anything, and he just wanted his life to be exactly the same. And he was actually looking for a servant rather than a flatmate.
Right. Yeah, right. Now, I've sort of moved the conversation on a little bit and hear about the story of you and your wife recently sharing with family and maybe what your reasons were for that. How did you find actually living with family? And before you answer that, you know, there's 13 and a half million unused spare bedrooms in 10 million homes across Australia, which is in existing housing stock. And there's a number of different ways that, you know, we can house share and who we can house share with. And this is a story that I haven't heard before or talked with anyone about before. But when we think about it, you know, family, the people that we know and we're comfortable, familiar with, and if you do have the space and you're agreeable in regards to the terms, I think it could be quite a lovely experience. And I know that yours was. So tell us about that.
So back in late 2019, my wife and I decided we were going to go traveling and spend time in Europe. And as part of that, we tried to sell our house, and then COVID hit and we couldn't sell it. So we decided, okay, we'll rent it out. And we had a mad dash up to Queensland before the borders closed to say, okay, well, this is going to be tough for the next, we don't know how long COVID's going to go on for, but we would rather be with family than be on our own. And my wife's a twin, so we moved him with her sister, her husband, and our niece. And they have a beautiful four-bedroom house, you know, up on the, with a couple of bathrooms up on the Gold Coast. So they had a couple of spare bedrooms. So it was actually lovely to move in at a time of real uncertainty, because we were there and able to support each other, because they didn't know whether their jobs were secure and school got messed up. So, you know, our niece had to be homeschooled. And the fact was that we were there for, you know, 6 months, and we were able to support and help through that. So, you know, we basically ran the house, did the schooling, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were able to carry on working each day. And to your point earlier, Ludwina, the best part of the day was dinner time, because we'd all get back together, the five of us around the table, and we'd just talk about our day and what was working and what was not working. And at the start of COVID, there was just so much stuff swirling around. So it was actually a godsend to be able to have that time together. And it worked really well. And then we went back to the UK, spent time with my mum, and we were house sharing in the UK with my wife's other sister and my brother. And so we were sort of
real family affair.
And we did a few house sits as well. So we were living in other people's houses, and some of those, we spent a little bit of time with the people that were moving out. So, but I think with family, it really is beneficial, because we were almost like the surrogate parents, and we were there to support our niece. And it would have been really difficult, I think, with the homeschooling had we not been there. And financially it was really good, because we basically bought all the food and then all this, and kept the house, and we got free lodging. So it was a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things I want to pick up on that, and thanks for sharing. There's this beautiful experience that happens when you have a group of people collectively living together who can share resources. And one of our taglines that we use is, we're building micro communities in the most intimate place of all, home. And it sounded like that's exactly what you did at a very difficult and I would say desperate time as well for everyone, and with uncertainty swirling all around us. I was just picturing that at the end of the day, you all around the table, it was like you had your micro community there, you felt safe, you felt loved and supported and connected, and that gave everybody the confidence and the, self-assurance to get up and do the same thing the next day. But more than that, the resources that you were providing, as in the food and, keeping the house running, enabled them to continue with their job, ensuring that their daughter was still homeschooled. But there's beautiful resources even between you and your wife that were able to contribute to their daughter's education. So there's this whole circle of life that occurs. And, we would typically call that a rent offset model with the room exchange. Yeah. And I'm glad that you shared that, because whoever's listening now, whatever your need is that you have in your home as a household, that can be met by somebody who has a natural gift or talent to contribute that, as opposed to payment of rent. And I think this is a really nice segue, Peter, into talking about the model that's in the UK around, I think they call it the rent, the rental scheme, or...
Yeah, rent-to-room scheme.
Yeah, because I think in Australia, our rental and house sharing models are very archaic, and I know you're not surprised by that. And there needs to be some lifting of some rules around it that make it very difficult to house share. And then obviously there needs to be some tightening up in other areas so we don't have circumstances like hot bedding or, you know, slumlords taking advantage of people. But, you know, when homeowners can essentially fix the problem in a major way with the current rental crisis in Australia just by opening up their homes, I think it's a government's responsibility to jump in and say, hey, let's make it easier for them, but let's make it easier in a way where the homeowner still feels safe and the person moving in, the housemate, actually feels like, you know, they're going to be taken care of, because it's not a tenancy, it's a house share. So talk to us first about what's happening with that in the UK and, you know, your thoughts maybe about how we could get some discussion going about it to get that in Australia.
So in the UK, as a homeowner, and our first home we bought in York, it was a stretch for us back then, and we got in a lodger, and what you could do over there, and then, you know, I can't remember what the numbers were back then, but the numbers today are you can earn £7,500 a year tax-free as the homeowner by providing basically a full service other than feeding them, which we ended up doing with our first lodger. But, you know, that was more of a social thing. But you provide fully furnished, all the energy, internet, whatever, and they just pay you a lodging fee. But it's a really good system because the owner of the house is not disadvantaged here. If you rent out a room, then potentially it has some tax implications, which doesn't make any sense to me. And it's bizarre that they did it in the UK, because the average size house over there, quite a common house, was a 2-bedroom terraced house. You know, ours was a 3-bedroom terraced house, but it was a really small house. And we took someone in, and yet the houses here are probably twice as big and they have less people in them. That seems a bit bonkers, but part of it is, yeah, the system penalizes people for doing the right thing and opening up their house.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that I always say to people is that your spare bedroom is existing housing stock. It doesn't have to be built. And there's a small community there that people can access. And we primarily focus on single people just because of the additional complexities. But, you know, some people might choose to get a couple in, that's fine. But if you imagine, if out of the 13.5 million unused spare bedroom, if even we just could remove, I don't know, 5 to 10% of single people that are in the actual applying for rentals, the impact that that could actually have, just that in and of itself on the rental market is phenomenal. So I think if anything, but for the government to try to fix that, how many years do you think it'll take for them to build? The cost of those properties at that point will increase, and the problem would have increased by then as well.
I think if people could let a room in their house and not be penalized from a tax perspective when they sell their home, then, and they have company and they get support and whatever, you know, it seems crazy that people don't do it. And I wonder whether it's a little bit cultural as well, that in the UK, it's quite normal to go away to university. So quite early on, you're used to living somewhere else, whereas here, seems like lots of the kids stay at home for university. They don't move out. So they're not open to house sharing. That's one of the theories that I've got. But it seems crazy having great big 4- and 5-bedroom houses with 2 people in it. Seems bonkers. But that's the situation here, which is really sad. And I do think the government, instead of punishing people for being entrepreneurial or helpful, trying to help their community, they should be rewarding them, not punishing them.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we're not talking about short-term holiday letting, which I personally think is, you know, got a lot to answer for in terms of contributing to the rental the long-term rental crisis. We're talking about, you know, people who are actually going to stay in your home for 3, 6, 12 months, however long the arrangement could be. But in my mind, Peter, and tell me what you think about this, I'm thinking like if there was a minimum that you had somebody renting your home, because I think the time frame's important, not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think the money is, you know, whatever margin they put on it as well, but they could also reach that margin in a very short period of time by upping the rent. And that's something that we're very cautious of doing, is making sure that just because you could probably get double the amount of rent for your room doesn't mean that you should be charging that. So we're very mindful of making sure that our listings are actually really being fair in terms of the fact that they're not going in to rent a house and have all those privileges that go along with it. So the amount that they pay has to be, you know, in line with that, I guess. So I think that if it's you rent your spare room out for, I don't know, 6 months or more, a year, and it reaches a certain dollar value, then I think you should be able to get the tax break on that.
Yes.
Because of the massive issue that it's solving for the government. And I think if we just had to put some basic things in place there, like we have a templated house share agreement that, you know, both parties can actually use to create their own house share arrangement and make sure that they've got that in writing. And we offer premium services in that. We'll do a video call to help them articulate that if they want a recording of that. It's almost like you're having the conversation up front.
Yes.
What are the potential issues that might arise? Let's create solutions for them now, all the way down to the exit plan.
Yeah.
You know, like, so if it's not if, but when this situation comes to its natural end, how much notice do you both need?
Yeah.
2 weeks, a month, you know, what is it that you want? And then also be gracious in that time, in that, you know, maybe it might take a little bit longer for someone to find a new place. But we've had circumstances sometimes where an adult child has needed to come back home, and so then the arrangements had to come to a natural end.
Yeah.
But the household were very caring of the person and was patient and waiting until they found someone. But again, that all comes back to communication, right?
Yeah. I think as well, it's like any partnership, because this is what this is a partnership. You need to have an agreement up front. And a wise man once said to me, you always write the documentation for the divorce, not the wedding, because everyone goes in with optimism. And I think that's how it should be. But have the difficult conversation. Well, what about if one of my family wants to come in? Have all these things up front so that if the scenario plays out, then you've already talked about it, and that removes any energy and animosity. So I think it's brilliant that you guys offer that service and a template. People will have those conversations then up front rather than when it actually happens, which is always making decisions with short notice is always difficult and stressful, right?
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time we had a young woman living with us for about a year, and when she came to us, her name was Nicole, she was single at the time, and we had that conversation in part of our establishing of it, saying, look, I know you're not seeing anyone at the moment, but if you do meet someone, just let us know and, you know, we'll work it out from there, and then come over for dinner and we'll figure it out. But, you know, that's one of the questions we ask. Well, what if a special friend wants to come over? You know, you don't want to just, you know, people have lives. You don't want to just go, oh, hey, I want my boyfriend to come over on Saturday night. It's like, well, no, I haven't met him. And, you know, but we just got him over for dinner. And he came with the most amazing ice cream and desserts.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know. Yes, he was very well raised, that boy. And then the following week, he's Indian. He also knew I'm Indian as well, but I'm not traditionally raised as Indian, but I love curries and he'd love to cook. So anyway, his night that he did come over, he insisted that he cooked, and it was just like every second weekend he came and every second weekend she was over there, you know. So we worked out an arrangement that was mutually beneficial for everyone, and he just added this extra layer to the home, you know. So again, it's just people are negotiating all the time, every single moment of the day, you're negotiating something, whether it's a conversation you're having with yourself that you can't figure out, or, you know, something you're working out with your partner or your kids or jobs. We're always negotiating something. And as long as you can give each other as much as what it is that they need and they're doing the same thing for you, then the thing that's the difference in between doesn't matter so much. I'll just end this with another point. I recently decided to become a housemate for 3 weeks in this beautiful home in Yarra Valley, because I wanted to know what it would be like to share a home, you know, in with that capacity, and also to provide some further insights for me, because you can, you know, as a CEO of a business, you can sometimes just get caught up in the logistics of things. And we had a beautiful moment with Elizabeth where she has a 16-year-old daughter, it's a single parent 16-year-old daughter. And I got along really well with the daughter, and she and I were sitting outside having big giggles and laughs one night, and her mum was up in her room just enjoying hearing the laughter. And then she thought she overheard me say something that she was uncomfortable with, and she waited until the next night at dinner, and then just after her daughter sort of left the table, she's very softly and gently just brought it up, and I said, oh, no, hun, I didn't say that. There's no way in the world I'd say that. And I'm sorry that you thought that, you know, I did say that. This is what I did say. And then she went, oh, thank you so much for making it so easy for me to bring it up.
Hmm.
You know, and that was it. But if she hadn't have brought it up, then yeah, that would have bested it. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I always assume positive intent, I think, because if you go into any relationship with, oh, this is, they're going to be bad and it's going to be difficult and I'm not going to like this, then you're always looking for that evidence to reinforce that. So go in with assuming positive intent, and if some people do something that pisses you off, it's probably unconscious or, yeah, they're not even aware of it. So assume positive intent and then communicate. You know, and I think that's what I've learned through this process. Every time, yeah, the post-it note was a bit extreme. Yeah, by the time I left, I think I had 40 post-it notes that I collected from him in the house, and I thought, this is not the way to manage a relationship. You need to communicate and have conversations and assume that, you know, assume that people are going to do the right thing, and they will.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great idea to immerse yourself in doing something as well, because until you've done something, it's hard to imagine. But, you know, Ludwina, you've been house sharing for many, many years, you know, throughout your life, but it would have been definitely very different going in someone else's house. And what a great test for the other person as well, to see what a great benefit having a flatmate is.
Yeah, yeah, it was beautiful, and it was just a really great way to kick the year off, and I hope to do it a couple of times throughout the year.
And is she going to take on a more permanent?
Oh, yeah, she's actually listed. Yeah, definitely listed on our platform. Yeah.
Yeah, what a great way. There's nothing quite like experiencing something to know whether it's right for you. Try before you buy, right?
Yeah. And actually, we often say to our households and housemates, look, why don't you just do it for a week first? No one has to forfeit their previous home. And then you can just decide at the end. But the way that our system's set up, it's like it takes care of about 75% to 80% of the questions anyway.
Yes.
It's all the practical stuff. And then the rest of it's just gut instinct and, you know, we're going to get along. And, you know, so we have really formulated a process where technology is taking care of everything from mandatory verification for both households and housemates to profiling to make sure that you match based on personality, values, and lifestyle. And the third thing is, you know, do you want a traditional rental model or rent offset model? And then do you want to take care of it yourself, or do you want us to help you? And then off you go. Like it's quite simple. But I just want to find out what's next for you. So I just want to spend a few minutes talking about, you just said that you and your wife have now rented. What was the experience of that like, finding a rental? Because I'm sure that would not have been
It was very stressful. So we're renting with a dog and
oh geez, you've added something else to the mix.
But we went to quite a few open homes, and it was almost like a full contact sport and very stressful, and the estate agent so busy that they had no time. And we were really lucky that we found a place in Paradise Point, which was where we were looking. And it was a rental that had fallen through. Someone had moved in and then moved out very quickly. And we were in a position we were able to move. But it was very stressful. And what was really sad was that lots of the houses we were looking at were miles too big for what we really needed. But that was all that was available.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few groups going through as groups of friends looking to rent a house. And they were almost deemed as second-class tenants, which I think is really, really unfair and harsh. And so, I think it's a very difficult situation to rent a house. But our plan is, Ludwina, we're only going to live here until the dog dies, which sounds ridiculous. Aww. And hopefully we might be here for 5 years. But, you know, she's quite an old dog. And then we're probably going to be rent vesting again, go and rent somewhere else and do a bit more traveling.
Mm.
But I, having listened to what you guys are doing, I just thought it's a wonderful product because, you know, you're going to do a couple of things, right? You're going to help people find the safety and security of somewhere to live. And over and above that, Ludwina, you're going to create lots of new friendships that people will take with them. And what a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, thank you. Somebody actually said to me yesterday, and this was a really great line, because we're in our 6th year now, and for the first bulk of the business, it was really about, you know, encouraging homeowners to open up their room and the joy of house sharing so that people who are looking for affordable and accessible rentals can get access to it. But now it's like, you need an extra $1,200 a month to pay that interest rate hike. You got a spare bedroom. We've got an answer. Yeah. Like it's almost like it's the first time that that need for the household has completely converged with this rental crisis.
Yes.
And whereas before we had probably 2/3 housemates sign up and 1/3 households, now we're getting even. Like the need is obviously there on both sides. So anyone who's listening, you know, make sure that you do go to the room, letter exchange, theroomexchange.com and have a look. You know, there's a link there. You can book a call. There's different ways that you can have a chat with us. But, you know, as you've heard from this conversation with Peter, there's various different ways to live and various different ways to rent. Like you, Peter, I have a house in Newport in Melbourne that my husband and I are self-managed landlords. So we're a homeowner, we're managing with our tenants and have done for 8 years. And we've actually made a choice up until recently just because the circumstances changed. But for the bulk of it, we were renting it to young adults without a rental history. So maybe mostly young year students. Yeah. But we had a way of going through the process. So we had confidence in that business decision as well. And now we rent in the house where we live because I grew up in the country and I like to live further out, and both Harry and I run businesses from home. We're fortunate to have a great real estate agent, and our tenants always rave about, you know, how much we look after them. But I look at the relationship between a landlord, oh, I hate that word, a homeowner and a tenant. Yes. It's like any other business relationship. So my tenants spend, I don't know, $26,000-ish a year in rent. And if I was any other business and I had a customer who annually was spending that much, I would be wanting to make sure that they were well looked after.
Yeah.
And so when we sign the lease, they come over for dinner, we sign the lease, they see that we're human as well. And like we were just talking about with house sharing, we establish a relationship from the get-go. So it's not about an us and them thing. If there's any issues, we talk about it straight up. They lock themselves out one day. Harry was over there with the key straight away. You know, something else happened. We're there. You know, like it's a relationship. And I think if we can look at how we're living more from that perspective, then we're not only going to have much richer lives, we're going to be financially better off. And as somebody I spoke to, I interviewed last week, I haven't released it yet, but he said that, you know, we're heading into a very long, cold economic winter.
Yes.
And what we need to do is chop the wood, build a fire and stay inside.
Yeah.
You know?
That's wise.
Yeah.
Doing good is good business, right? If you build relationships and trust, then both sides benefit. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, Peter, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really do appreciate it. It's just such an unusual experience for me to have come across somebody who lives within the housing market in such a variety of ways. Usually somebody, you know, owns a home, they live in it, or they rent a house, or they're house sharing, but it's very rare that you experience all perspectives of it and therefore have insights that we can share with our listeners. So thank you so much. So if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
Probably look me up on LinkedIn is probably the easiest place. And yeah, I'm happy to share any insights and thoughts around, you know, house sharing or property in general. I've got a passionate interest in providing great accommodation for people, and I'm just happy to help anyone, to be honest. So,
because you're really looking more into the co-living.
Yeah,
side of things. When did you briefly talk about that before we wrap up then?
So we have a house in Fairfield and it's rented by 3 girls and it is a beautiful house and they keep it beautifully and they love living there. And it just say, wow, why aren't we doing this in other places? And we've got friends back in the UK. We ultimately spend quite a lot of time in the UK and we've got a couple of houses that we converted into. They're called houses in multiple occupation over there, but it's basically, you know, sort of 4 or 5 professional people and they've all got their own you know, bathroom and bedroom and communal kitchen and dining facilities so that they can spend time together. And it works really well. And the important thing is matching up the people and making sure you help them build a community. And so it's all the things that you're doing, you know, with the Room Exchange, Ludwina. So, and it's a win-win, because for the people living there, they save a lot of money because it's all the costs are included. And for us, you know, the house gets, you know, well looked after, and you know, and it generates, you know, secure and good rent, because the chances of four or five people moving out at the same time is very low. But people do move out, you know, when it's just one tenancy agreement. So it's reduced risk. So I think it's a win-win.
So that's commonly known as HMOs, multiple occupants.
Yes.
And so that's a kind of development or houses that you're looking at purchasing and converting in that way?
So they're usually three or four bedroom houses, and we convert them into four or five bedroom, all with en suites and a really nice communal area, kitchen, dining room. And that's really important, because you want to be able to create a space. And with our Aussie background, yeah, these are in Manchester, so it rains pretty much every day. We've insisted on putting barbecues in outdoor in all these places, which is a bit odd. But it's just another, for the 3 days of the year that the weather's good, you can get outside and enjoy barbecue on us.
Oh, fantastic. So if people want to connect with you and find out more about you, where would they go to?
LinkedIn.
Just LinkedIn, and it's Peter Meek, M-E-E-K, right?
Yes, yes.
Terrific. Again, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolutely delightful conversation. Say hi to your wife. I do hope to meet you both one day, and I'll get you over for dinner.
Yes, that would be lovely, Ludwina, and thank you for all you're doing.
Terrific. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for your next rental, head over to The Room Exchange, Australia's first verified house sharing platform. Our profiles make it easy to match you based on personality, values, and lifestyle, and you can choose to rent or offset your rent, saving you time and money. To find out more, go to theroomexchange.com. You can connect with us across our social media platforms at The Room Exchange, or email admin@theroomexchange.com.